PatriotDepot.com. PatriotDepot.com and enter code USA at checkout.
Monday is this year's Boston Marathon, and it will mark 5 years since a terrorist attack at the finish line where two bombs went off, killing three people, injuring over 260. City officials were hoping to have two memorials at the locations where those bombs went off in place in time for this Monday, but the Boston Globe reports city officials say those two memorials won't be ready in time and that they're still working with the victims' families and an artist to finalize their design. With one official telling the Globe it's more important to get it right than to meet an artificial deadline. Bill Cosby's retrial on sex assault charges continuing in Pennsylvania. Yesterday, a witness for the prosecution called the comedian a serial rapist. Cosby's defense lawyer trying to paint the woman at the center of the case as a con artist. Her lawyer says,
well, we'll see who the real con artist is in the courtroom, Mr. Mesereau, when the verdict comes down.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything.
866-490-3991. 866-490-3991. That's 866-490-3991.
Many Republicans still trying to get their arms around the fact that House Speaker Paul Ryan won't be running for re-election this year. But one person in his hometown of Janesville says she knows better than anyone why he's not seeking re-election after 20 years in Congress.
His wife, Jana Ryan, says, quote, it will be hard to turn the page. I wouldn't say a weight has been lifted, but it's a chapter I'm looking forward to, end quote. Some residents criticized Ryan for working with President Donald Trump after opposing him, while others praised Ryan and said they appreciate him wanting to spend more time with his family. I'm Morgan McCarthy.
A teacher at Florida's Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School who survived the mass shootings there on Valentine's Day is now facing charges for mishandling his own gun. Sean Simpson was arrested last weekend after he left his gun in a bathroom stall at Deerfield Beach Pier. Broward County deputies say he went back for it, but by the time he got there, a drunk homeless man had already fired a shot into a wall with it. No one was hurt. Simpson's not facing any disciplinary action from his school so far, but he is charged with failing to safely store a firearm. And Tesla's new SUV will be going into production next year, according to Reuters, which quotes sources as saying the company run by Elon Musk will start making the Model Y SUV at its Fremont, California plant next November. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
It's It's time for Legends of Success with John Resnick. Each week, John presents the most original success stories in America. Passionate and inspiring stories from some of the most innovative and successful entrepreneurs alive today. This is Legends of Success. Here's John Resnick.
And welcome to today's edition of Legends of Success. This is America's program that introduces you firsthand to our country's outstanding entrepreneurs, CEOs, and members of the Forbes 400 list, and where they share with you their journeys of overcoming obstacles and setbacks to make it to the top. I'm John Resnick, and as always, I'm glad you're with us today, folks. You know, from listening to our program, and those of you who've been with us for a long period of time, there's only two of the most critical attributes in building a successful enterprise are continuous innovation and also the ability to adapt to an ever-changing marketplace and world. And every day, consumers become wiser, their buying habits more discriminating. So for business owners, innovation and adaptation must be part of the success formula. And today's guest and his highly successful family-owned business got my attention for doing just that. Roger Berkowitz is the president and CEO of Legal Seafoods, an industry leader providing high-quality seafood products in America today. Let's welcome the third-generation president and CEO of Legal Seafoods, Roger Berkowitz. Roger, welcome to Legends of Success.
Thank you, John. Pleasure to be here.
Well, it's nice to have you here, and how things in Boston Harbor today?
Things are all right. There aren't any emergencies, and things are flowing well.
When I was up there visiting Jack Welch, he says, it's not Boston, John, it's Boston. So great town, great area up there. I guess one of the questions, even before we paint a picture of what is Legal Seafoods, is my one producer, Stu, here said, well, what's legal seafood versus illegal seafood? So I guess, how did you get your name? And then we'll talk about the business.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. A lot of people, think that we were at one time selling illicit goods or that even we had a family member that was incarcerated and when he went out decided to go straight or that we were a family of lawyers. And it's really none of the above. It's actually, kind of funny. In 1904, my grandfather had a grocery store, and he called it Legal Cash Market simply because he redeemed legal cash stamps. They were the forerunner of the S&H Green Stamp, and he just wanted to show people that you got an added value when you traded with them. And some years later, when my father opened up his fish market adjacent to it, all he wanted to do was show the family tie-in, so he just took legal off the cash market and put it onto seafoods.
It sounds like you come from a long history of marketers. And I say that as a compliment, and we're going to get into some of the innovations you've had, but would you say that's been a defining attribute of the three generations, now we're in the fourth, of your family?
Yeah, I would say so, John. You know, it's funny, if we were to think back, and maybe it becomes second nature as opposed to something that we consciously think of, but I really grew up in the retail business. My father, grew up in the retail business, and his grandfather, his father rather, started a retail business. So I think it's the retail mentality that in many ways drives much of our decision making.
Yeah, and folks, there's a big difference between a retailer and a merchandiser. Today, we're going to learn lessons on merchandising. Roger, for the folks who don't recognize the name Legal Seafoods, and I predict one day everybody will, but I know a lot of people do, give me a snapshot picture of Legal Seafoods, how it exists today.
Okay, well, how it exists today, we are essentially, the way we would define ourselves, John, is that we are a fish company operating restaurants as opposed to restaurateurs selling fish. And that's perhaps the point of differentiation. We are fanatical about the quality of the product, and we control it, really. We're somewhat vertically integrated in that we buy right off the boats. We buy at auction. We have a state-of-the-art seafood processing plant complete with a laboratory. And so we really, quality assurance is paramount to us. And then we source and handle, and then we get it into our restaurants. We now have 33 restaurants from Massachusetts down to Florida and as far west, if you will, to the Philadelphia area. Mm-hmm. And we also have a mail order company where we send live product and cooked product out to different parts of the, actually the entire continental U.S., and we're getting ready to produce products available in supermarkets.
Amazing. And the volume, and by the way, folks, this is a family-owned business, and if you don't mind sharing, what's your general revenue these days, Roger?
A little north of $200 million right now.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And again, this is a family-owned business. We have how many active family members at Legal Seafood?
Active right now, my kids are involved, sort of the fourth generation are involved now. My oldest son, Matt, my middle son, Scott, and my daughter, Jackie, is just getting involved.
Fantastic. And there's got to be a mission statement. You and I have talked about this before, but you have a very clear mission statement and a mantra. What is that?
Well, it's really the initials ROG, and it really stands for, you know, you see so many mission statements out there that are so long and lengthy, and if you ask anybody what it is inside their own companies, well, they might get a part of it right. I wanted to make this sort of indelibly clear. ROG stands for Return of the Guest, and my job and everyone's job, you know, that works with us has to have sort of the same mission in mind. What we're doing has to enhance the guest experience in such a way that after they experience what we have to offer, they want to return. And that's sort of a retail mantra as well. I mean, if you went back to the old retail days, you always try to get people back on a weekly basis, and sometimes more than a weekly basis. So that's really what we think about.
Fantastic. And, you know, folks, Roger hit on differentiation. And I'd mentioned earlier, I always allude to Jack Welch, or commonly do. I actually found, you know, people say, John, how do you select your guest? How do you find them? What do you do? I was actually, about a year and a half ago, I flew into the airport at Boston, and I was on my way to Jack Welch's home to visit with Jack and Susie. They invited me there. I was honored to be their guest and spend a day with them. Well, like my normal driving, I took a wrong turn, and I ended up in this big industrial warehouse on the bay, on the water, so to speak, and I come across this huge building, about 75,000 or 100,000 square feet, Roger?
Yes.
I couldn't believe it. And there's Legal Seafood, and something tells me I've got a story here. So I stop. It's a true story. I stop in. I talk to the guard. I said, tell me, what's the business? And I was very impressed with how much the guard knew about your story, your security guy. And so it went on my list. And it was, about a year and a half later, not many weeks ago, my wife Billy and I went shopping in the King of Prussia Mall. And all of a sudden, there's a new restaurant called Legal Seafoods. Well, I'll tell you, folks, we had just eaten some pizza and other stuff, and I said, I've got to try the food, because now I've got a story here, and I'll tell you, you do differentiate. And, you know, Roger, that's why I invited you on the show. We want great role models for businesses and individuals. You also have a differentiator about quality and freshness that is a great challenge in your industry. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little about that.
Well, you know, seafood is a very perishable item, and going back a number of years, every time there'd be a story out about red tide or the safety or perhaps mercury content in fish, you know, people would question whether it was safe, whether it was healthy to eat, and we knew that it was good to eat, and we knew that there was good product out there, that the stories that you'd hear were sort of isolated areas, and we thought, you know, we've really got to focus on quality assurance and let the public know that what we carry and what we're focused on is going to be safe and it is going to be healthy for you. So that really, we sort of underscored, you know, how we've evolved over time.
And I will tell you, it must be a major challenge, which I guess we'll get into in a little while when we get back. Part of the story is, folks, it's got to be a major challenge getting such fresh product and keeping the bar so high. The other thing that I'm going to ask you later in the program, Roger, is with your growth, it sounds like you have some contiguous growth, but I'll ask you later about the challenge of keeping fresh food and growing in great distances from your home base. Ladies and gentlemen, great story today of a wonderful family business in America called Legal Seafoods. Our third generation CEO, President and CEO Roger Berkowitz is with us today. And we get back here from this break, we're going to find out where all the story began, like they usually do, with a tiny little startup business, and it's flourished to a $200 million business with 30-some locations up and down the coast. The story of Legal Seafoods with Roger Berkowitz. When we get back, you're listening to Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. Be right back.
Can you remember the last time you had a great night's sleep? How you felt the next morning? More energized. More alive. Feel the difference of deeper sleep daily with the new Tomorrow mattress. designed by the world's leading sleep experts at Serta Simmons Bedding and delivered right to your door. Use promo code HAPPY for up to $250 in savings when purchasing a mattress, foundation, and sleep protector. That's tomorrowsleep.com promo code HAPPY.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 6565 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 6565.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes of Forbes Magazine. When you want to learn who America's most successful people are, read our Forbes 400 list. When you want to hear firsthand how they got there, listen to Legends of Success with John Resnick. Legends of Success is one of the most original radio programs in years. Legends of Success with John Resnick.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. We're pleased to have Roger Berkowitz, president and CEO of Legal Seafoods. Really a tremendous business. The NBC Today Show named Legal Seafoods the number one seafood restaurant in America. And Boston, which has got to be the toughest market anywhere in the country, Legal Seafoods continues to rank number one and the most popular. They're doing something right, folks, and we're trying to find the best examples, the best role models. And, of course, how in the world did they get there? Well, to find out how they got there, we've got to go back, I guess, to 1904 and find out where they started. Take us back, Roger.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. The seeds certainly were planted back in 1904. My grandfather, Harry, opened up a little grocery store in 2,500 square feet. And he had some fresh produce, and he had meats there, had a little butcher shop there. As I mentioned before, he called it the legal cash market because of the S&H. The stamps he redeemed were government-issued stamps that predated the S&H Green stamp. And he had a great clientele. He was situated in Inman Square, right between Harvard and Central Squares, and a little ethnic neighborhood. And, you know, had just a nice little following and operated that business up until the mid-40s and started to feel the pinch with increased competition. And there were a lot of the new supermarkets that were opening up, the A&Ps of the world. Mm-hmm. And there was one right around the corner that had opened. And he started really to feel the pinch of competition because these were certainly much larger entities and they had a lot more offerings. And my father, George, was in school and he was asked to leave school as well as his older brother, Leonard. And they joined my grandfather, and my father had a cousin that worked for the new supermarkets, and they said, you know, if you and your family really want to compete, you have to have some of the same niceties, and one of the things they have are fish counters. So my father thought, okay, I'm going to put a fish counter into the grocery store. Unfortunately, at 2,500 square feet, there simply wasn't enough room. But what he did do, and this turned out to be fortunate, is that he leased the adjacent storefront and put in a fish counter with a fried fish and chips area to take out. And he sort of, when he left and to open up the market, it was that same sort of fanaticism for quality that my grandfather had instilled. And the interesting thing is that my father's older brother then left the grocery to go on his own. And he got involved in the meat business. And over the years, he developed a great reputation as one of the country's foremost authorities on meat, ended up starting the Certified Angus Beef Program and
really?
Taught meat science. So it's very interesting what happened in that 2,500-square-foot space with my grandfather sort of instilling the importance of quality in everything that you did and how that sort of manifested itself later.
Boy, what an inspiration. You see this with generation to generation. And, you know, folks, every generation has to adapt and innovate. However, Roger, am I correct? Also, one of the most valuable attributes is to pull the lessons from previous generations.
Absolutely. You sort of glean the best from everything and then add to it. And certainly, as you mentioned before, John, it's really a question of adapting because, you know, years ago, you could stay and maintain and do something for a while and really not have it impact you. In today's environment, you almost have to have a short attention span and continue to evolve because if you don't keep growing at a fairly rapid rate in terms of innovation, you can very quickly become obsolete.
You know, that's a great point. I was speaking with Paul Orfila just days ago. He's the founder of Kinko's. Mm-hmm. And I said, Paul, what about a business plan? He said, let me tell you about my business plans over the years. He sold out since to FedEx, but he said, I have a one-page business plan. I'd be serious about the plan, and I'd always be ready to change it. I continually throw it out and reform it. And that's the truth, because you've got to continue to adapt.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the funny things, you keep hearing of some old school people say, well, what's your 5-year plan? What's your 10-year plan?
Yeah, right.
And I'm thinking, you know, those things are obsolete. You could write down anything. I mean, you can have a dream and perhaps put it down. But if you really put a 5- and 10-year plan down in today's environment, you're going to look like an idiot.
Yeah, you'll be a dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
You can set 5- and 10-year goals, but even they're going to change because
exactly. I think, you know, 3 is ambitious, 2 is more practical,
sure.
And then because there are so many things in the changing environment, and people, as an example, are looking at energy costs. Now they weren't thinking of energy costs 3 or 4 years ago, but today that impacts a lot of their decision making in terms of how they open up, of how they source their product, mm-hmm. Are they going to more locally sourced product?
Sure.
Now that's something that's brand new that wasn't on anyone's radar to a major degree.
Well, absolutely. And there's also opportunities. You know, when you have a business plan, there's one thing you'll never see in a business plan, folks, and those are the unexpected opportunities that come by. And those unexpected opportunities work out almost every time to be the greatest opportunities that you never planned for, but
absolutely
you must be
correct.
Cognizant to seize them. Am I right?
Absolutely correct.
Well, this is great. Now, one of the attributes, as we go back to the story, folks, is that there is a consistent mark of quality through the Berkowitz family. And it started with the grandfather, Harry. It went through Father George. It went through your uncle. What was your uncle's name, George?
Leonard.
Leonard. And he's starting the Certified Angus Beef. You know, we've got a history of quality. And if you don't set a foundation of principles, and if you don't set a high bar in business, and you don't stick to them, you're going to be in serious trouble.
Absolutely.
You know, I find it interesting. 1904 to 1950, we got 46 years that things didn't change much, I don't think, from Harry to George. But then George opens up this legal seafood. The seafood
and the fish market. It was interesting because the fish market, it was an interesting thing. If you opened up a fish market in 1950 in Inman Square, Cambridge, it may not, you'd look at that and you'd say, well, that's kind of an odd plan. Why would someone do that? Because
sure.
if you thought back to the 50s and 60s, you ate seafoods principally for two reasons. You were religious and had to eat fish on Fridays, or else it was something that was very inexpensive that cut the budget. And I'll never forget, you know, when the Pope decreed that you no longer had fish on Fridays, you know, I think we went into mass panic. You know, you had to understand, going back at this time, I think we were one of the few, probably the only Jewish family that lived for Lent.
Wow.
I mean, it was, you know, a major, you know, part of what
sure.
we did.
Oh,
and people, you know, like my mother was a perfect example. My father would bring home a great piece of haddock.
Mm-hmm.
My mother had this recipe. She'd put it on a broiler, pour milk over the top, and burn it.
And burn it.
She had it all over Paul Prudhomme well before, you know, he started his blacking process. And she didn't have any flavor to it. That was the other problem. But so I really couldn't eat a piece of broiled fish. But I don't until I was 18. But I think many people in my generation experience the same kind of thing, and sometimes it's being in the right place at the right time.
Oh.
About 1965, mm-hmm. they were in Inman Square, Cambridge. Cambridge a tremendous influx of Asians coming into the Boston-Cambridge market.
Mm-hmm.
And they were studying computer science at MIT and Harvard, and they started to migrate into the area, and they heard that, you know, of this fish store in Inman Square, and they started to frequent it. And so that caught the eye of some journalists, and it caught the eye of some nutritionists, and they started to study the Asians and say, gee, you know what? Longer lifespans, lower incidence of heart disease, lower incidence of cancer rates, and guess what? It's perhaps tied into the diet and what they're eating in terms of seafood. So all of a sudden, we start to see a little bit of a renaissance taking place. Now, again, talk about being in the right place at the right time. A woman moved into the neighborhood. She started a cooking show on the local PBS network.
I was going to ask you about that. That mm-hmm. was a big break for you guys.
Yeah, that was.
And her name was?
Her name was Julia Child.
That's right.
and she started using our product on her show.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, she was teaching people like my mother that fish could indeed taste good if you cooked it appropriately. And so that's really what started to happen. My grandfather at that point had retired. We had the 2,500 square feet adjacent to us. We broke through the wall and said, okay, you know, we've been doing these fish and chips for years. It's fresh, high-quality product. Let's put it on paper plates and picnic tables. And that's how we backed into the restaurant business.
Now, let me ask you this. And we talked before, Roger, you and I talked about unexpected opportunities, and they mm-hmm. can be the greatest opportunities. Here's one, folks, if you're listening, because they were in the game, because the Berkowitz family was in the game, and they served high-quality products,
mm-hmm.
they never expected Julia Child to come along, but she came along. Now, after you went on PBS, or she went on PBS, extolling the virtues of your product,
mm-hmm.
how did business do after that?
Well, business certainly picked up. The retail market picked up, and our takeout area picked up. And so we thought, well, you know, why don't we, you know, again, why don't we expand a little bit since we have the space adjacent to us? Now don't forget, John, we knew nothing about the restaurant business.
Absolutely.
Not a thing.
As a matter of fact, Roger, it's a good time for a break. I got to take in about 20 seconds, but I want to bring up a point. 2,500 square foot market. They enhanced it by adding not a fish counter, but an actual fish market outside, and they kept growing success upon success upon success. Folks, this is called organic growth. This is smart growth with a great foundation. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about that one location that Roger just alluded to, and that was really the birth of Legal Seafood's restaurant. But he still says, we're not in the restaurant business, we're in the fish business, the seafood business, operating restaurants. All that wisdom and more from Roger Berkowitz, the president and CEO of Legal Seafood.
You're listening to Legends of Success with John Resnick. For more information, visit John's website at legendsofsuccess.com. Learn about the Legends, upcoming guest, get contact information, listen to the best of Legends, see photos and more at legendsofsuccess.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The president of Syria speaking about threats made by the U.S. and its allies to attack his government military installations following a chemical attack on civilians in his nation last weekend, blamed on his government's forces. Bashar al-Assad saying any such attack by Western powers would only create more instability in his war-torn country. Secretary of State nominee and current CIA chief Mike Pompeo going before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee today for a confirmation hearing. Republican Senator John Barrasso says,
we need to get a Secretary of State in place, and that's why the hearings are so consequential, and a quick confirmation, I think, is necessary.
Barrasso spoke on Fox News. The Labor Department says 233,000 people filed first-time claims for jobless benefits last week, about 9,000 fewer than the week before. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Hi, this is Ethan Resnick, and you're listening to my dad, John Resnick, on Legends of Success.
Having a wonderful visit today with Roger Berkowitz, President and CEO of Legal Seafoods. If you've been listening to the program and you hadn't just tuned in, and you're wondering, how can this guy sound so good? Well, I'll give you a little hint. Roger was a broadcaster at one time in his life. He hosted a talk radio program. So, Roger, I'm putting you on the spot. If listeners don't like the show today, it's all your fault.
All right. Okay. I accept.
But you're doing well. You're doing well. Right. And we went from the 2,500 square foot little store that your grandfather started, then your dad started a market in 68, okay, began the birth of the restaurant. Tell us about the first restaurant at Legal Seafood.
Well, what had happened, my mother wasn't much of a cook, but she did have some business sense. And when my grandfather's store next to us closed, we had this 2,500 square foot of space. So my mother said, gee, why don't we take the fried fish and chips out of the back and put it on paper plates and picnic tables? So it's sort of like an expansive takeout area, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we inadvertently got involved in the restaurant business. The only prior experience we had in the restaurant business is that we like to go to IHOP on Sundays, and every other Sunday would go to our favorite Chinese restaurant. But that was the extent of our restaurant experience.
Well, I was going to ask what you knew about running a restaurant. There's
nothing.
So what were the greatest challenges in the beginning?
Well, you know what? I mean, just keep our head above water.
Wow.
It started out and we started doing fairly well, and we were very fortunate in that there was a guy who came in with his family, and we didn't know that he was a restaurant reviewer because restaurant reviews were just starting. They really had not existed really prior to that. Mm-hmm. And he came in with his family, and his name is Anthony Spinozola. Now he has since passed away, but there's a foundation named after him.
He's with the Globe, correct?
He was with the Globe, mm-hmm. exactly. And he and his family came in, and one of the first pieces he ever did on restaurants was this little restaurant in Inman Square, and he gave it a glowing review. And from that point on, we sort of had, you know, people coming in lines off the door, and it was just sort of all hands on deck. Everyone in the family was working. My grandfather was behind the, you know, was taking cash. My grandmother was bussing tables. My mother was doing takeout. My father and I were cooking. It was just, just sort of all hands on deck. And again, one of the interesting things is that I think back to this. If we knew what we were doing, we probably would have screwed it up.
Absolutely.
I mean, we all we wanted to do is satisfy people. And we figured if we were doing that, we'd figure out at the end of the day or the end of the month whether we were making money or not. We didn't know really what we were charging. We just sort of, what would we want to see if we came into a place? And that was sort of the mentality behind it. You know, today if you think, if you over-engineer it, well, the food cost has to be X and the labor cost has to be Y.
You'd drive yourself out of business.
You would drive yourself. You'd become so formulaic that you wouldn't be, you'd take all the romance out of it and you'd be, people just wouldn't be attracted to you.
Well, you know, and being naive going in business, and everyone's naive when they start in a business to some extent, that is really a strong attribute because you don't know what you're not supposed to do.
Absolutely.
And so
right.
You try all things. You're more innovative. You take greater risk, but you don't know the risk. And you started out, again, with a couple basic principles.
Absolutely.
Correct me if I'm – well, you tell me what those principles were.
The principles were make sure that the highest quality, you know, that you can possibly get, and make sure that you're offering it in value so that people want to return. That's it.
And here's the other thing that's interesting, folks. Okay, remember, this is a restaurant, got a great review from the Boston Globe. Now we're hearing about lines standing out. Again, give us a capsule description of what the place looked like. What were the plates? What were the tables? What was this place?
Well, you know, if you would enter through the fish market, so there was a long fish counter, and
sure.
At the end of the fish counter, there was a little bit of a takeout area in the back, and later we ended up, for whatever reason, putting Chinese and Japanese groceries there because so much of the clientele was Asian.
Mm-hmm.
And then next door, we broke through the wall, and so people would line up on one side and then enter through the other, and there would be picnic, essentially picnic tables, and smaller four mica tables, and we would have paper plates and plastic silverware. And cans of or bottles of soda, and you'd help yourself to iced tea and coffee. The floors were terrazzo floors that the old markets had, and we had sawdust on the floor.
Which is amazing. So if we're talking about a review about the food, that's exactly what we're talking about, the food. It's got to be that great because it was a – but the other thing is such a comfortable atmosphere. You know, like your restaurants today and the modern restaurants, which we'll get into in a moment – they're very comfortable, but you don't have to dress up, but you can get the best food in the marketplace.
Right. And, I mean, so there were certain principles. The look and the feel might change, but mm-hmm. the quality can never.
In 75, fast forwarding 1970, and by the way, you started business, what, when you're 10 years old washing dishes?
Yeah,
things,
yeah. I mean, really waiting trade by standing on a milk crate, waiting on trade behind the fish counter and meeting some of the you know, the early Asians coming into the Boston market, watching them point to different cuts of tuna in the case. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you could get bluefin tuna pretty readily, and so they'd ask it, you know, to be cut and sliced in a certain area. I'd give it to them, and then they'd open it up behind the fish counter. Again, this is 1962, 61, mm-hmm. and they're opening up, and they're eating it raw in front of me. This is well before, you know, sushi and sashimi came to this country, mm-hmm. and my eyes bugged open. I absolutely could not believe this.
Well, why don't you take a bite?
It took me a few years, I think, before I got to that point.
But to this day, I love sushi. But, you know, what's interesting, I've got to tell you, is that you continue to build on basic principles of quality, of exceeding customer expectation. I mean, you probably had a fear that you had to do that so you didn't lose your business.
Right. That was, you know, it couldn't be good. It had to exceed what people wanted. Again, the fear factor is, you know, this was, and even in its early days, we were busy. We weren't necessarily making money, so it was we were pedaling, sort of like paddling fast, so that we wouldn't sink.
And it's interesting because these days, Estee Lauder shared with us patience, passion, and persistency. Patience seems to be going by the wayside.
You're
and
right.
Patience, isn't that such an important ingredient
to
success?
It is an essential ingredient. And one of the problems I think that businesses are facing today is that there are so many public companies out there that look to make money and increase on sales and profitability by the quarter. Mm-hmm. And I think, in particularly in the food business, and not all cases, but many times in the food cases, with food and high quality food, you sort of hit a point of diminishing return. I think that in business today, you have to have sort of this patience. The Asians are great when it comes to patience.
Absolutely.
They invest and think long term, and they'll always get there. I mean, just look what they've done, you know, with Toyota as a car company versus what we've done sort of with the General Motors of the world.
Amazing. Folks, when we get back, we're going to talk about that first real restaurant that came in 1975. Not that you're that your other one wasn't, and how that grew to a $200 million business today. Roger Berkowitz from Legal Seafoods is our guest on Legends of Success.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Hispanic entrepreneurs are more bullish than their non-Hispanic peers about revenue and hiring in the year ahead, and optimistic about their long-term future. According to the 2018 Bank of America Hispanic Small Business Owner Spotlight, 37% plan to hire in 2018, and 71% expect revenue increases. Additionally, over three-quarters of Hispanic business owners plan to grow their business in the next 5 years, and nearly 9 out of 10 believe the business environment for Hispanic entrepreneurs will strengthen in the next decade. Elizabeth Romero, Bank of America Small Business Executive, discusses the findings.
One of the fastest-growing segments of the small business sector, Hispanic entrepreneurs expect economic growth, higher revenue, and increased hiring in 2018. This overwhelming optimism extends beyond this year, as Hispanic business owners are anticipating a stronger business climate that will help them grow and flourish over the next decade.
For more, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Telling their stories across America, from Maine to Hawaii, from Washington State to Florida. These are America's greatest success stories. Legends of Success with John Resnick.
We are back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. I'll tell you, folks, we're learning a great story, a great family business story from our friend Roger Berkowitz, the president and CEO of Legal Seafoods, truly a leader in the seafood industry today and all across America. Roger, 1975 was your. I hate to call it your first real restaurant. I'm not putting down the one with the paper plates and plastic forks and
yeah,
things.
Yeah. Well, it was more. It was a little bit more formal, and you know, we thought, okay, now we're moving out into a fairly sophisticated market. It was the Chestnut Hill Newton Market.
Mm-hmm.
It was fairly sophisticated, and we, you know, we're sort of wrestling. You know, how nice do we make it? And one of the sort of nexuses for us was the price of fish started to go up.
Mm-hmm.
And the quality that we were using, because now it's becoming more popular with Julia Child and people thinking a little bit more along the lines of healthfulness. So one of the things that we're thinking about is, well, you know, we want to maintain our prices, and we know people like our prices, but if we maintain the prices, maybe we have to go to a lesser quality. And so that option went off the table very quickly. We said, you know what, we're just going to have to charge more to maintain the quality that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, we're probably going to have to invest and make the restaurants a little bit nicer, you know, get away with do away with the sawdust on the floor, have more comfortable chairs, have it feel more like a real restaurant. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of, the market place really dictated how our restaurants evolved, as opposed to us saying, you know, we're going to be a fancy, we're going to be a midstream. It was really predicated on the price of fish. And so as the price of fish went up and we needed to maintain our quality, we really had the surroundings mirror that price increase.
And we're going back to having enough smart to adapt yourself to a changing marketplace and very discerning customers. People are getting smarter all the time. You cannot fool the public.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I mean, we got fooled a lot in terms of what we were doing. I remember I fancied myself a little bit of a chef and would come up with occasional dishes. I'll never forget, I came up with this one dish, John. It was a lobster casserole. Mm. 8 ounces of lobster meat with buttered breadcrumbs and a sherry and garlic flavoring, and I couldn't keep up with it. It went out the door, and I used to tell you, I said, boy, I can't believe how many we're selling. It probably took me 2 to 3 years later to figure out I was losing about $6 on every one of them.
Well, you know, but you went with your passion.
Right. And, you know, if we didn't do those stupid things in the beginning, I mean, if we knew what we were doing, we would have screwed it up.
We're visiting with Roger Berkowitz, the president and CEO of Legal Seafoods, on Legends of Success.
Credit products are made by WebBank. Rates and terms vary based on credit history. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
How did I get into credit card debt? A trip to the emergency room.
Car repairs.
Moving expenses.
There's a million ways to get into credit card debt, but one sure way to start getting out, Avant. Avant offers access to online unsecured loans from $2,000 to $35,000 at competitive rates and no extra charges for paying back early. Over 500,000 customers have experienced the convenience of a loan through Avant. No wonder Avant has an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. The application takes minutes, and if approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, funds are deposited as soon as the next business day. And now Avant will also give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your loan options and to get this special radio offer, go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 6060 when applying. That's AVANT.com, promo code 6060. Avant.com, code 6060.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
We're back on Legends of Success, hearing the family history of Legal Seafoods, an outstanding business in America today. In the 1970s, what's the single greatest pivotal event that helped your business grow?
Well, I think that, you know, there were perhaps a couple of them, but one of the things that happened in the 70s is that, you know, seafood really was not, you know, it was never really in the limelight. And then there was the Magnuson Act, which was the 200-mile limit.
Yes.
That pushed all the foreign fleets 200 miles outside of our shoreline. Mm-hmm. There was the government getting involved and incentivizing the fleet to increase in size, which on one level was good, but on another level very bad, because it served to really deplete a lot of the ocean's stocks.
Sure.
But that was sort of a stimulus that took place. And the other thing for us is that there were increasing stories about red tide and mercury content in fish that forced us to get really involved and really study what was going on there and really developing our quality assurance program.
And that program, I've got to mention again, here we go back again, folks, that quality control program that you have that was in that huge big place that I drove by, mm-hmm. I heard as a leader in the industry, and you actually worked with the government to help set standards.
Yes. We were always fanatical about handling product in the early days. I had brought in outside inspectors to inspect what it is that we were doing, unannounced. I mean, I really wanted to make sure that we were ahead of the ball game here. And then as we opened our first plant, we ended up putting a laboratory in there, and we operated that for about 20 years, where we had a lab and we had our fish cutting arena. And then we moved here about 3 or 4 years ago, and we sort of enhanced our lab. What we do there essentially is we work with something that the government came up with a program. In the late 80s, there was not really a bona fide government program for seafood inspection, and someone thought that why don't they employ a service called HACCP, H-A-C-C-P, and the acronym stands for Hazardous Analytical Critical Control Points. It was developed by Pillsbury for the NASA program. They thought, well, this would be a great program to employ in the fish industry. So they asked a number of us, maybe about 5 or 6 of us throughout the country, who were doing some innovative things with in-house inspections to work on that system for them. And so we subsequently ended up writing some of the HACCP inspection program for the seafood industry.
I love it. Now, you are a family business, okay? And what has the greatest challenge been? Every family business at one time or another, one level or another, is dysfunctional because people are dysfunctional. None of us are perfect. What's the greatest challenge you've had in family business?
Well, you know, I mean, it's interesting. We went through a number of iterations. I was in the business with, I have a middle brother and a younger brother who is not in the business, but a middle brother. And so it was my middle brother, my father, myself, and we all worked together. And it was, at times, very trying. I mean, the passion to do the right thing is always there, but sometimes emotion creeps in. And so you really have to balance the passion with emotion so that it doesn't get out of hand. And it worked well while all of us were sort of involved under separate roofs. But as soon as we sort of ended up working closer together under the same roof, you know, sparks at times would fly. And I'll never forget, I got a call from a fellow I knew at the local NBC affiliate at the time, it's now CBS, to do a show, a local talk show called People Are Talking. And this fellow's wife was the producer, and she wanted to know if I would come on the show with my father and brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little leery, but yeah, okay, you know, let's do it. And so we were on the show, and this was this is about 87, and the host, you know, looked at us and said, okay, let's say, he looked at my father and he said, gee, let's say something happens to you. Which one of your sons is most capable of taking over? And then, boy, it was a made-for-TV moment.
What happened?
Well, you know, of course, you know, each of us started talking about how we thought we were each better suited for the task at hand. And I mean, it made for great television, but it also made it underscored the issue that had perhaps been fermenting in our family for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went out and we ended up actually hiring the family business specialist that also appeared on the show.
Oh no!
And really working through some issues and defining. But at the end of the day, maybe it was 5 years after that fact that there was a blow up in the family, and my brother Mark ended up leaving the business, and then ended up suing us in somewhat of a public forum.
Wow.
And it was akin to sort of an acrimonious divorce going public.
Wow.
So it was kind of an ugly event, but it was an interesting thing that happened after that, because what happens in family businesses, and one of sort of the pitfalls that every family business has to be careful of, is that the politics surrounding the dynamics of the principals and the family, because oftentimes the staff and associates watch what's happening, and so they get paralyzed at times with what's happening at the top, and so they become, at the very minimum, I think, 30% less effective.
Yes. Yeah.
And so when it becomes sort of a clearly defined role in 1992, I took over, and as a defining moment, the politics went away. And everyone sort of aligned and started rowing in the same direction. So we realized that we had perhaps squandered some opportunities between mid 80s and in the early 90s, where we could have been growing.
In 30 seconds or less, the single best advice you have for young entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs at any age starting out who are having a tough time.
You mentioned it before. Have patience. If you truly believe in something, stick with it. You will eventually get there. That's sort of number one. Number two, we're in an environment that changes all the time. So what worked yesterday that's working today will not necessarily work tomorrow. So always have something, a plan in mind where you can take your core value and your strength and keep changing it. Keep changing that periphery, because if you don't, you'll become obsolete.
I love it. Roger Berkowitz, president and CEO of truly America's leading seafood business, Legal Seafoods. I thank you so much for sharing your time with our listeners today.
My pleasure, John.
Stick around if you would. 1 second, please. I also want to thank Ida Faber from Legal Seafoods for helping us arrange this interview with Roger. Our team here at Legends of Success, producer Michael Parks, and each and every week, the intelligent and beautiful Billy Resnick. You've been listening to Legends of Success, the most original success stories in America. I'm John Resnick. We'll see you next week.
This report is brought to you by Marcus by Goldman Sachs.
Americans' total credit card debt continues to climb, with the average household carrying a credit card balance of over $15,000. According to NerdWallet's American Household Credit Card Debt Survey, 61% of Americans who have ever owned a credit card have carried a balance from 1 month to the next. I'm Andrea Warrock, ambassador for Marcus by Goldman Sachs. To get your financial house in order this spring, explore your options when it comes to paying off credit card debt. If you carry a balance on one or multiple cards, consider consolidating debts by taking out a personal loan. You can find these loans online with lenders such as Marcus by Goldman Sachs, which offers no-fee, fixed-rate personal loans to help consumers with good credit pay off high-interest, variable-rate credit card debt. For more information, please visit www.marcus.com. That's www.marcus.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A confirmation hearing for President Trump's nominee to be Secretary of State, current CIA Chief Mike Pompeo, has begun before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Republican Senator Pat Roberts, who, like Pompeo, hails from Kansas, introducing the nominee to the panel.
As our nation's most senior diplomat, Mike will be forthright, he will be forceful, he will be a man of his word. It's in his DNA.
Roberts interrupted towards the end of his remarks by a code pink protester.
Welcome as diplomats, people that discuss and don't kill other people.
After the woman was escorted from the hearing room, Roberts said,
I was right in the middle of the best part, too.
President Trump saying he has not telegraphed when an attack on Syria will happen. He tweets this morning that it could be happening soon or not so soon at all. This is USA Radio News.
What a day for tennis. You ready to play? Is everything all right?
This sinus pressure.
Allegra D knows that allergy congestion can get in the way of enjoying the moment.
Go ahead and practice without me.
Allegra D helps you break through congestion fast. Allegra D combines a non-drowsy antihistamine plus a powerful decongestant for 24 hours of congestion-free breathing.
Whoa, nice volley.
How about another set?
Only if you go easy on me.
Get Allegra D and get back to the moment. Starts working in 1 hour. Available at the pharmacy counter.
I used to wonder why people took their own pillows into the hotels with them till I got a MyPillow, and I go everywhere with mine. Stays cool all night, keeps its shape, 60-day money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the 4-pack special, enter promo code USA. You get 2 MyPillow premium pillows, 2 go-anywhere pillows for half off. Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-951-8175. Use promo code USA.
Today is Holocaust Remembrance Day in Israel. Here's USA Radio's John Clemens.
As sirens begin to wail, people, wherever they are or whatever they're doing, will stop, even on busy roadways, as many will stand in silence to contemplate the 6 million Jews who were systematically killed by Nazi Germany. All activity will stop as coffee shops, restaurants, theaters, and stores are closed, while lights are turned off in reference to the beginning of the 1943 Warsaw Ghetto Uprising.
While it is Holocaust Remembrance Day in Israel, International Holocaust Remembrance Day was observed on Saturday, the 27th of January this year. Fewer Americans filing unemployment claims, as the Labor Department says this morning. 233,000 people filed first-time claims last week, 9,000 fewer than the previous week. Experts were expecting them to rise by 12,000. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel.